I want us to think of those three passages that have been read to us, the passage that I read from John chapter 7 to introduce our service, and then the passage from Ezekiel in the Old Testament, and the passage that Paul read from Revelation. Each of them had a common element through them. The element of water, and in particular flowing water, Ezekiel and the Revelation passage, both speak about a river. Water, rivers, they figure highly in the scriptures, and they are used by way of great symbolism to get a message across. And the passages that we read this morning, with the exception of the one in John, are symbolic. They are, if you like, visions of what is going to be. For Ezekiel, what he saw has been accomplished. For what John saw in Revelation, that is still yet to be fulfilled. And we look forward to heaven. But God speaks to us, and he uses these points, these visions, to show us what his purposes are. When we look at these three visions this morning, I want you, or three passages, I want you to keep in your mind a short statement that Paul read to us from Revelation chapter 22 and verse 2. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And we prayed for those who will be going to camps this year. We have prayed for others who are serving God overseas. And many people, knowing the legal situation in which we find ourselves today, would say, well, who would want to spend their summer holidays at a children's camp or a children's work? Because in order to do those things these days, you've got to jump through so many hoops. You've got to meet so many standards. It is so demanding. It takes, one, the joy out of it, and you get exhausted even before you get there. But when we put those pressures and responsibilities into the context of this statement, the healing of the nations, then we understand why these people give up their time. We understand why missionaries go to other countries. We understand why people give themselves to Christian ministry. This passage from Revelation, because that's where I want to start, in a way, to understand where this picture is used of the healing of the nations. And I want us to look at this section with the heading, "The Only Reason for the River." And I've already given you the reason for the river. The reason for the river is for the healing of the nations. John, in this book, is being given a vision of history. If you go back to the beginning, God shows him a series of visions of what is going to happen throughout history. And then, in Revelation 21, John is given this picture of heaven. And there is far more detail here than we have. And it is in heaven that this picture of the river is placed. The river, as it were, is flowing through heaven. In Ezekiel, the river had its source at the door of the temple. But if you've got your Bible open in Revelation 22, you will find that the river in this story was flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. It says that there in verse 1. Both of these pictures show that the river that is for the healing of the nations starts with God. In the Old Testament, it starts in the temple, the symbol of God's presence. In heaven, it begins at the throne, the demonstration of God's power. And you see it flowing through verse 2, it flows through the middle of the street of the city, also on either side of the river, the tree of life. And so you've got this picture of the river going on and on for the healing of the nations. And I want to emphasize to you this morning the point of what God is making in both of these visions, the temple and the throne. God is saying to us, with his authority as the creator of this world, as the ruler of this world, as the judge of this world, with all the power that he has in heaven and on earth, the one focus that he wants us to see from this vision is that he is concerned for the healing of the nations. If you take the Greek words behind this phrase, you could, in effect, transliterate it or give a translation that goes along these lines. This river is for the therapy of every ethnic group. I always delight when I stand here, particularly on a Sunday morning, and I look out and I see that we represent different nations. I'm not talking about political nations, but as the term here is, we represent different ethnic groups. Different by birth, different by language, different by custom, and yet all under God's care, all under God's sight, all under God's concern. God says that there will be the healing of the nations. And in verse 3 it says, no longer will there be anything accursed. And in another translation of the scripture, that statement is made in this way. No longer will there be any curse. And what is God saying? He is saying that this world has been under a curse. This world has been under a judgment. And the word curse is a very emotive term, isn't it? Because it conjures up this supernatural power. And usually when we talk about curses, we are thinking about a power that will do people harm or punish them in some way. A power that will cause misery. And friends, the facts are that this world, we have only to turn on our televisions and watch the news, read the newspaper, and we find a world that is destroying itself, a world that is committed to destruction. And yet, God says, in that context, where we have a world that is destroying itself, I have provided this river, I have provided these trees. What for? For the healing of the nations. For the healing of people from every tribe and nation. For old and young. For male and female. This is the great strength of what God is saying. One of the effects of the curse is that our world is divided against itself. Sadly, there are times when nations are divided against themselves. Sadly, there are times when nations, when I say nations, individual nations, compete against another nation. But we have seen in many nations in the last 12, 18 months, where there has been civil war, and there has been division within nations. We see divisions in families. But we praise God that the Lord Jesus Christ, he tells us in Revelation, not in Revelation, in Ephesians, that he has come to make us one. There has been a division between God and the human race. There has been a division between our Creator and we as creatures. There has been a division between nations. But Paul writes, for he himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. Friends, Christ came into the world to repair the division between God and humanity, the division between nations, the divisions between individuals. And this is the glorious truth that John is being shown here, that the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. But before I leave this passage and go back to look at the passage in John, I want to point out to you something that many of you might find strange. There in the middle of verse 2, it talks about these trees, or the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. Now, we live in a country where fruit normally comes at one season of the year. And if there are gardeners amongst us today, they're probably saying, well, the only thing that I can get to grow in my garden in the winter is weeds. But we have this picture that there's fruit every month. And before Linda and I lived in the tropics, that was my understanding. There is one time when fruit will grow. But where we lived in Papua New Guinea, we had what we called the one moon cowcow. Now, cowcow is the local word for sweet potato. And one moon sweet potato literally means that if you plant the vines at the beginning of the month, by the end of the month, by the time the moon has been through one phase, there is fruit. And this is the glorious truth that is behind this, that the healing that God provides is available every month of the year, is available whenever we call upon our God. The healing that God wants to make between our breach with Him and our breach with others is available now. So the only reason for this river is the healing of the nations. But what is the source of this river? Where does it flow from? Well, that was the passage in which I opened our service this morning, John chapter 7. I've shown you that it flowed from the temple, but I've also shown you that it flowed from the throne of God in heaven. But what does Jesus say in John chapter 7? He doesn't talk about buildings. He doesn't talk about thrones. He talks about Himself. And He says there in John 7 and verse 37, on that last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Where does the river come from? The river comes from Christ. Christ is the only means of healing the relationship between God and man. Christ is the only means of healing relationships between people. You might say to me, "Bernard, okay, you're making a point, but what does it have to do with me?" Well, let me ask two questions this morning. Do you have peace with God? Do you have peace with other people? And obviously, the opposite of those questions. Is there a distance between you and God? Are you at enmity or at strife with other people? If you have to answer no to my first question, no, I don't have peace with God, no, I don't have peace with other people, then that is the relevance of this passage of Scripture. Christ has come to bring you peace. When we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, I trust that you thirst for peace. I trust that you thirst for contentment in God. I trust that you thirst for that assurance that your relationship with God can be healed. Because Jesus says that when we come to Him, when we have a relationship with Him, then out of our hearts will flow rivers of living water. Why did those six people stand in front of us this morning? Why do missionaries go to other countries? Why do people leave certain careers in order to become ministers of the gospel? Is it because they're more intelligent than anyone else? Is it because they have got more answers than anyone else? No. If I can put it like this, it's because we are pipes. What is the purpose of a pipe? The purpose of a pipe is to be available so that something else can flow through it. And when we come to Christ, when we ask Christ to forgive us and to heal our relationship with Him, and as a result with other people, we then become a pipe so that that message might flow through us. But Jesus says, come to me. Where do we find Jesus? No statues, no crosses, no icons. How can we find Jesus? Well, Jesus gives the answer here in verse 38. Whoever believes in me. Friends, are you prepared to believe this morning that God so loved the world that he sent his Son, that his Son came into the world, that his Son lived a life of poverty in order to identify with his people? Are you prepared to believe that Christ went to the cross? Using another picture, I've been talking about the healing this morning, but when Christ went to the cross, he took the punishment for our sin. Are you prepared to believe that? Are you prepared to believe that Jesus paid the wages of sin when he died, but he demonstrated his power when he rose again? God raised him from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead, demonstrating that we have a God, we have a Savior that we can trust. Are you prepared to believe this morning? I can't take you to him physically because the man Christ Jesus today is in heaven. But I can take you to him in his word. God speaks to us through the Bible. I can take you to him in standing before you today and saying, I know him. And what I am speaking about this morning, he makes available. He's made it available to me. He makes it available to those who will come, who will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you believe this morning? But I've got a third point, and it's back in that passage in Ezekiel. Ezekiel 47, if you're using the Church Bible, it's page 888. But I want to show you two verses here, because this is the route to the river. Verse 1 says this, then he brought me back to the door of the temple. And in verse 6 it says, then he led me back to the bank of the river. I want to be careful about what I say here because I don't want to overemphasize this point. But the facts are, friends, there are times when we want to repair a relationship that we have to go back. I'm not going to emphasize that geographically because that's the idea that comes out in these pictures. But, as an absolute minimum, if we want a relationship repaired, then we have to be prepared to take some action. Although Ezekiel was already God's messenger, in order to take this message further than he had already taken it, he had to go back. He had to go back to the door of the temple. He had to go back to the banks of the river. Both of them symbolize the fact that the source of healing, the source of repair, is only in the river that flows from the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. The point, friends, is if you want to know peace with God, you've got to go back to God. It's no good you saying, God, you come and help me here. There has to be that willingness on our part to humble ourselves and to go back. Now let me put that into context. Many, many times in the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ issues the invitation to come. In John, he says, come to me and drink. In Matthew, he says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. When Peter was in the boat in a storm, Jesus said to him, come. And he went. When the children came, and there are still children with us this morning, you don't have to wait until you've got grey hair, like many of us. You don't have to wait until you are parents, because the Lord Jesus Christ said to the children, come to me. And to the parents, to the disciples, don't hinder them. Do nothing that would hinder your children coming to God. So, as I bring this message to a close this morning, what is the point that God wants us to get from this message? Jesus was constantly calling people to recognize their need. Essentially, he invited people to a restored relationship with him. That is the healing of the nations. God has provided the means whereby that healing can take place. But especially, he wants the relationship between God and his creation, his redeemed people, to be re-established. The point he is making, however, is that that relationship can only be re-established when we come to Christ. Christ stood in a public place and he invited all and sundry to come and believe in him. That invitation stands today because it's recorded in the scriptures. Christ has promised that where two or three are gathered in his name, he is there amongst them. So he is with us this morning. And he says, come. Come. And I will heal the breach. I will heal the nations. I will give them access to the healing therapy. One of the wonderful things about that picture in Revelation is that throughout eternity we'll be able to come to Christ. When we are saved, we will have access to that river day after day after day. But friends, as Doris was saying to us this morning, now is the day of salvation. Now is the day that we have to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to quench the thirst of our lives, to ask him to heal the breach in the relationship between us and him. The Lord Jesus Christ said, come, all who are thirsty, and drink. And may God help each of us to come this morning. Amen.